Chapter 29, The Great Master. I woke up slowly, still in a good mood from last night. I had a couple of weights on my body and a damp spot on my chest. I opened my eyes and looked down. I was missing my shirt, and I saw a shock of green tinted hair. Maymay was still asleep, face down on my chest and drooling, with a contented smile on her face. I chuckled and rubbed her bare back, but then paused. Her shirt was missing too. I absently pulled Gojen's leg off my throat where he had put it in his sleep. He was only wearing his loincloth and still snoring away. After that, I extracted my leg from Yunzhen's grip, who was at least clothed. I smiled at the memory of our increasing rowdiness that eventually led to this. I'll admit I was just a little buzzed and not absolutely hammered like my friends had been after three bottles, but I went along for the ride anyway, including the part where I had a song brother on each shoulder while Maymay sat on their shoulders, forming some kind of strange human shape, like a cheerleading performance, while Maymay double-fisted rice wine. Drunk Maymay was hilarious. Her personality shifted completely as she turned into a dirty old man. She'd busted out a spectacularly vulgar drinking song about a brothel madam and a donkey, complete with pelvic thrusts. The song brothers had been in tears from her song, and I hadn't been much better because she started getting handsy halfway through. I drew the line at her demanding me to pour what was left of our booze down my chest so she could lick it off. Okay, I hadn't drawn the line there. Don't judge me, it was hot. Ah, good times. My hands circled around Maymay's back, and I lifted her up from our position on the floor. Maymay was very light. I could hold her with one arm and not feel the weight. Gently, I carried her to my bed and put her under the covers. I gave her a kiss on the forehead, and she murmured happily. I scratched my back. The Song Brothers got some blankets and were transferred to bedrolls. To be fair, they were light to me, too. There was no real effort involved in moving them, even when I was taking care not to wake them. I stretched and left them to sleep for a while longer. If I had to guess the time, maybe 5 in the morning. I wish I could have slept a bit more too, but I was awake now, so I figured I might as well get some work done. I looked around and frowned. I was a little surprised that none of the animals had come in last night, especially Tigger. Maybe we got a bit too wild. I got dressed and headed out into the cold. The farm is always silent this early in the morning, save for when Big D goes and sounds the alarm. There hadn't been as much of that lately, though. Tigger and Big D had been taking care of things without waking me up, and maybe they'd finally depleted the vermin population around here. But nobody was around. I frowned, considering for a moment. I looked at the snow trails and began to follow one of Chunky's. It meandered away from the house and across the river into the back left of my property relative to the road. I followed it for a while, confused and concerned because the trail went way further out than they normally ventured. It looked like it went completely off my property. I was about to break into a light jog when I saw them. Everybody was trotting back home without a care in the world. I breathed a sigh of relief and stopped my walk, just standing there with my arms crossed. My animals noticed me and transformed from triumphant and proud-looking to suddenly looking like children who had been caught with their hands in a cookie jar. Well, everybody except Chunky. He squealed happily at the sight of me and ran over, ramming into my legs and begging for scritches. I obliged him, scratching away. Peppa had something tied to her back. I couldn't quite make out what the bundle was from the angle I was at. "So, where have you guys been?" I questioned, and, "Wait, what happened to you, Tigger?" I walked forwards and scooped my cat up. She was covered in little scratches, and her fur had been shaved down in places. She preened into my touch, rubbing her head against me.
"We have been slaying vermin, great master,"
I heard Rizzo say. "Ugh, more spirit beasts. Well, as long as everybody is okay." Big D stepped forwards and bowed, as did the rest of my animals. And then there was a clunking noise as a bunch of swords fell off Peppa's back. "Okay, what the fuck kind of vermin carries swords?" I turned back to Rizzo, feeling a bit lightheaded. This might be a difficult day. It was a tale straight out of a story. 5 brave disciples who'd fended off the wicked bandits. Each one of them puffed up when it was their turn to be the center of attention, save Big D, who just stood silently, as if it was natural that he had led an assault against a bandit encampment without warning me first. My fist clenched at what Rizzo said the bandit had wanted to do to my farm. I got worried when they described the techniques used, and I didn't know what to feel when they said they'd defeated the bandits and cleaned up. I was very concerned. I was very, very, very concerned. Okay, all my animals becoming spirit beasts? I could handle that, or so I thought. The ugly mutant rat who attacked the farm was maybe a one-off. Defending the farm from pests? Understandable. Fighting a battle against cultivators and winning? Maybe it was my fault for being lazy and letting them do whatever, giving them so much responsibility and not really telling them what should happen. Yeah, I didn't know how the fuck to deal with this. Honestly, I didn't know how to feel about them killing the bandits. A part of me recoiled and screamed that all human life was sacred, that they should have been detained and offered a fair trial, even if a fair trial meant summary execution or living out the rest of their lives as slave labor in the mines. Some part of me wished that I could have talked to them, gotten them to see the error of their ways, like some kind of savior, and then we all lived happily ever after. But the bandit's words made it clear what he would have thought of that plan. Another part felt visceral satisfaction at their deaths. They'd threatened to hurt Mei Ling and my friends. They'd threatened to tear down all I had built. Trees strangled entire cities. The mountains rose up and vented their terrible wrath. The very earth rose up and went to war. My fist clenched as my chi bubbled to the surface, unbidden. Some part of me wished I had been there, right alongside my animals. The last part was just annoyed. The fact that I had encountered the bastard in Verdant Hill, the super rat spirit beasts, and now this? Was the world trying to fuck with me? I stared down at my animals, my face as impassive as I could make it. They waited for me to praise them. They gazed at their trophies with pride. How long will it be until they start going on more adventures? They had no guidance. I'd left them alone and treated them like pets, even when I knew they weren't. How long until they attract some cultivator's attention? Cultivators who want to eat them and won't take no for an answer. Cultivators who want what's here. All they wanted to do was make me proud. All they wanted to do was live here. They'll just keep causing problems. They were offended on my behalf, on Mei Ling's behalf, on the Song Brothers' behalf. They went to war to defend us. They're going to ruin things, that peaceful life you want so much. Great Master, they called me. They thought me brave and wise, strong beyond measure, the kindest thing they had ever met. I was the man who nurtured them, even when he didn't have to. Just end things. Try again with other animals, and this time, no chi. I took a breath and bent down, my hand landing on Big D's head. It's simple, Mei Mei's voice whispered. Whenever you feel that urge, don't. A small smile spread across my face as I started to scritch his wattles. Thank you, everyone. Good job protecting the farm. My animals preened, basking in my attention. I doled out scratches and praise, and they absorbed it like I was their own father. Well, just think of it as training. They're pretty childish. Hey, if you can raise a rooster, you can raise a kid. Fuck what I just thought. I'm ashamed it even entered my mind. What the hell are you trying to get me to do, me? There will be no more violence and hate here. No Xianxia bullshit. Life would be good. I would make it good. My own little slice of paradise, right here. For a brief instant, I felt warm, like I was being hugged. Something at the edge of my awareness twinged, like a rat squeaking in shock before being pounced on by a cat. The feeling faded. I picked up the swords. Come on, let's go get some breakfast, I told them. The disciples perked up, everyone except for Peppa, who looked vaguely ill.